Production support for Soundbites is made possible by listeners and by Coffee by Design, growing a business committed to community and sustainability locally and worldwide. CoffeeByDesign.com.
Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing, and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Wanted. Here's today's host, Connecticut-based novelist, storyteller, columnist, playwright, and teacher, Matthew Dix.
All right, so how about a huge round of applause for our next storyteller, Nina Lichtenstein, ladies and gentlemen.
So I'm born in Oslo, Norway, and raised there. And when I'm about 13 years old, I begin to notice that my father behaves in kind of strange ways. Like when I'm driving in his car with him in the passenger seat, I discover huge mounds and piles of unpaid parking tickets, IRS notices of collections, and cancellation policies or cancellation letters from the power company. And you know, it's hard to begin to realize that your dad isn't perfect when you're a young woman growing up. And I realized that he was kind of eccentric and that he was doing things that other dads didn't do, that he was doing things that my mom didn't like. But he was my hero. He was my hero because he would do things like make French crepes in front of my girlfriends and flip them up in the air and catch them in the skillet. And they would be just so impressed. And I knew that their dads were only making nothing because men didn't cook back then, kind of. And their mom just made fish and potatoes, right? He was my hero because when the rope on the anchor of our boat got stuck in the propeller, he put on a wetsuit and dove down into the ocean with a big knife and cut loose the propeller and hence saved our vacation. He was on our boat alone one spring, fixing it with a motor saw, doing renovations, and the motor saw slipped, and it cut off two of my father's fingers. They fell to the deck. He picked them up, put them in his mouth, rowed himself to the shore, drove himself to the ER, where they sewed the two fingers back on. My dad also let me have tadpoles in the utility sink, even though it really stunk and my mom hated it. But let's face it, my dad wasn't exactly the perfect role model. He had some problems. He was a bootlegger. He was a tax protester. And he did a lot of strange things like sell booze out of our basement, which was the bootlegging part, of course. And he would smoke about 40 Dunhills a day, red Dunhills. They had to be red Dunhills. And drink, he could easily polish off a Johnny Walker whiskey by noon time. And he refused to wear a seatbelt because the state told you to wear a seatbelt and he did not want to wear a seatbelt. Hence, when I got my license at 18, I didn't always wear a seatbelt either. So it was difficult to realize these things about my dad. It was difficult to realize that he was probably not an easy man to be married to. And years went on, and I decided when I was 19 to go to America to be an au pair and to stay there for a year. And around that time, my mom and dad got divorced, but only on paper the first time, because it was their attempt to try to save their assets from being confiscated by the state. So if they got divorced and everything was in her name, then the state couldn't touch their apartment, their modest bank account, the boat, and the cars. So I went to America just for a year, I thought. But lo and behold, I met a guy, got married, and had three kids. Interestingly enough, the guy I married was a tax accountant. Yeah, that's a Freudian thing, I'm sure. But every summer, I'd come home to Norway to visit my parents, obviously, to bring the kids home, and that was wonderful. So it's the summer of 2000, and I'm sitting at my parents' balcony with my kids, my three young kids, ages 5, 3, and 2, and we're having lunch, and my five-year-old looks up, and he goes, "Where's Grandpa?" And my mom shoots me that worried look, kind of panicking, but thankfully, my sister looks at her nephew with a great big smile and says, "Grandpa's at summer camp." He chews on that for a minute or two, and then he looks up and goes, "I bet he's having fun there." Oblivious as he is to the fact that most grown-ups don't go to summer camp. But where was my dad? Well, it so happens that the IRS and the government had been on his tail for quite a while. So my three children had a grandfather in jail. Well, I was just really relieved that it wasn't worse, because my dad had some other strange habits, like he carried a Luger gun around town in a cooler bag just in case. The gun had been confiscated by a father of a friend of his during World War II, when actually at the end of World War II, when Norway was liberated after 5 years of being occupied by Germany. And somehow my father had gotten his hand on this gun, probably through some like booze bartering situation, is my guess. So a lot of things could have been worse than being in jail for a white-collar crime. I knew that if his buttons were pushed just the right way, he could do some crazy shit. Like when he took a box of nails and threw them under the tires of the car of the parking guards that go out and write tickets in Oslo, you know, on the, they measure with measuring sticks, so they're very, like, Nazis about that. Or, for example, he would take that Luger gun and at a crowded bar downtown Oslo, he would, like, wave it in front of a bunch of ruffians that he thought were being rude. Or about the time, like, when he actually offered to kill off the very abusive boyfriend of my best friend's sister. So it could have been a lot worse. I thought a lot about my dad being sort of problematic as I was growing up. Now that I had my own three children, I'm thinking, what could have been the things that in his childhood that made him grow up to be so contrary or so angry? Well, the summer of 2000, when he was in jail, that was the straw that broke the camel's back for my mom. She really had it. She couldn't stand that all that insecurity anymore, so they got divorced, but for real this time. So my dad took an army bag and packed some of his belongings, his personal belongings, including like a coffee mug that my sister had given him for Father's Day and a picture of his dad on his arm before the war that I had framed for him. And my sister and I helped him move into a tiny little one-bedroom apartment. Pretty much, he lived a very nomadic life the next 12 years. For example, he had friends who were either widowers or divorced guys or just kind of weird old bachelors. And they had rooms, and he would move in with them, and they would get like a personal chef and a handyman and a drinking buddy all in one sort of deal. So it was a win-win situation. Every summer when I came home with the kids, we'd go to wherever my dad lived and visit him there. And it was a different place each summer. He also worked some odd jobs, but he preferred to live under the grid. So he would put the money in an account that was in my sister's name, and she had a Visa card that he would use that was like in her name. And he used her address as his mailing address and things like that. So he preferred to live under the grid, even though he had done his time. So he kept seeming to run away from something. In 2005, he was diagnosed with lung cancer, and that scared all of us. He was lucky because they removed one lung, and he didn't need any chemo or any radiation. So we felt good about that. But it made me really want to seize the moment. So I took my three kids, moved home to Norway for a year, and he would stay with us quite a bit that year. And one night when the kids were in bed, and he and I were sitting in the kitchen having a couple drinks, and then he started to tell me about the war. And he told me about how his dad was working for the underground, for the resistance movement. My grandfather was a taxi driver, and he would drive documents for them. And he had gotten caught by the Germans and sent to a prison camp in Norway. And about how he and his mom had packed a basket with warm clothes and food to bring to him because Norwegian prisoners were actually like privileged that way, that their wives were allowed to bring things to to the camp because the Germans wanted sort of to get on the good side of the Norwegians because they were like Aryan. They trekked the whole day to get to the camp. And my dad at the time was only 7 years old. And they got there, and they were refused to enter. The German soldiers in their uniforms stood there, and they had to leave without seeing his dad. And my dad always told me that his dad was arrested in 1942, and that he came home in 1945. And that's 3 long years for a little boy who's 7 years old, who's missing his dad, that some mean guys in uniforms took away. The funny thing is that many years later, in fact, quite recently, I did some research in the Norwegian archives about Norwegian prisoners during the war, and I found my grandfather's the entry about the dates of my grandfather's imprisonment. And it says that he was arrested in October of 42 and released in November of 42. And I'm like, wait a minute. What's that all about? Where was he those other years? Sadly, I was never able to ask my dad those questions, that I never had that opportunity to probe that deeper, to come to some understanding. In 2012, my dad died. My sister and I are cleaning out his very modest one-bedroom apartment, and it took us all of one afternoon. So few were his belongings. My oldest son got most of his books. My middle son got his tattered hat with a red ribbon around it. And my youngest son got his worn blue jeans and his windbreaker, which he still wears today. And I took his bread knife. But my sister and I both agreed that really the lack of material goods that my dad had was a very generous gift to us. So that cold, rainy, and dark fall evening in Oslo, when I closed the door to his apartment for the last time, I realized that really the most priceless, and special inheritance that he gave me was the support and love and attention that he had always showered on me. Dad, Papa, since you were always such a great listener, you might hear me now, and I'm going to tell you that you should know that you're still a very wanted man. Thank you.
Nina Lichtenstein, ladies and gentlemen. So Nina is a native of Oslo, Norway, as you know. She recently migrated to Brunswick, Maine from Connecticut after she finally finished raising her 3 sons and Viking Jews, Thor, Baldur, and Odin. A writer, she heroically tries to calm her monkey brain on the yoga mat and her bike. I loved that story.
If you want to know more about today's storyteller, well, you're in luck. Let's join our host backstage, now in conversation with today's teller.
All right, so I am here with Nina Lichtenstein. And Nina, this is not your first time telling stories because we have actually shared a stage together in the past. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions about what's going to happen tonight. So let's start with, can you talk about what your favorite, or if you would like, your least favorite part of Maine, or both?
My favorite part of Maine. Okay, my favorite part of Maine is probably that it makes me feel like I'm at home in Norway.
So this is as close as you can get to Norway without being in Norway?
Exactly.
All right, that's beautiful. So you've shared the stage with people before. If you could choose anyone in the world to share a stage with, who would you like to be performing with tonight?
So his name's Matthew Dix. He's a storyteller that is like a 40-time Grand Slam Moth winner person, and he's my mentor.
That's very kind. Now give me the real answer. Who would you really ask to have here tonight?
I think that would be, I don't know if she tells stories, but it would be Ellen DeGeneres. That would be a lot of fun.
All right. Another storyteller said Oprah. You chose Ellen. So basically we're looking for daytime talk show hosts.
Or strong women.
Or strong women. Very good. All right. So when you're done telling a story and you receive a recording, do you listen to your performance afterwards, or is that something you leave in the past?
Oh, that's a great, great question. I'll tell you why. Because I didn't listen at last year's recording until today. And I went on my public radio and I checked it out and I'm like, okay, I got to hear how this sounds. And I'm like, okay, you know, I think I can do this. So it was empowering.
That's great. So you waited about 365 days and then decided to give it a listen.
That's right.
All right. So tonight you're going to tell a story. Can you give us a detail from the story that's not actually going to be included, something you left on the cutting room floor?
One thing. well, I'm going to be telling a story about my dad and my rather mischievous dad. And one of the things that was left behind, you know, there's so many details, so many stories, was what it felt like for me when I was a teenager and I was in a grocery store with him and he saw a pair of sunglasses that he thought were cool. And I'm like, okay, how much are they? And he's like, way too expensive. And then he put them on and walked out. And I was like, what the f-? So it goes well with my story, but it's like another detail, you know?
Yes, possibly distracting from the rest of the story.
Not really, but just too much. You know, you got to kill your babies.
Yes, I agree. All right, thanks, Nina.
Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to GWI and Downey's Pension Services. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, can be found online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org. Thanks for listening.